You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I came into the radio station tonight on a mission, ladies and gentlemen, and the mission was singular: to remind everybody tuned in why the political cesspool has been the radio voice of the dissident right for the past 13 years. And I think we've gotten off to a pretty good start, if I do say so myself, with Andy McBride covering the stories of interest to our people in the United Kingdom. We've got a lot more coming up tonight. Walter Yorick. Your cue, I should say. I can't believe I missed that up again. Walter Yorick, of the Netflix documentary The 7-5. He was on last week to talk about the movie. He had so much fun. He said, maybe we can just hang out on the radio from time to time. I said, all right, let's do it. We're having him on tonight. He's taking Scoop's segment. We're also going to have Jack Ryan and Sam Dixon. So that's all coming up. But first, Keith, we talked about my case being a miscarriage of justice in Michigan, and it was, and it is. But what happened in California this week? Wow. Okay, so Kate Steinle, we all remember that, the young white woman who was shot and killed on a pier in California by an illegal alien. And you think this is a slam dunk case, murder in the first degree, at worst manslaughter, but no, not guilty on all charges. That was the verdict that was handed down this week. So in the meantime, I think you have a couple in Georgia who are doing years and years and years in prison for driving past the black birthday party with a Confederate flag on their car. They're doing years in prison. This man literally killed someone and not guilty on all charges.
Walks off scot-free. Now, but there is a silver lining in that dark cloud, which is that the federal government is now going to initiate a prosecution against him. This follows the template that was followed back in the civil rights movement. In fact, the similarities are striking, James. First of all, what the jury did in San Francisco in this Steinle trial is what's called jury nullification. They basically refused to prosecute the perpetrator or the accused because they identified with him racially or they were sympathetic to his political views or whatever. This is what the South came in for massive criticism for during the civil rights movement, the failure to prosecute people that supposedly committed crimes against freedom riders and people like this back in the day of the civil rights movement. But now you see the shoes on the other foot. The left has its own version of jury nullification. You saw that the public defender was Hispanic. I imagine the jury that made this decision was loaded up with Hispanics, and they basically let one of their own off, and they bludgeoned if there are any white conservatives on that jury panel, then the public defender didn't do his job because I imagine they're scarce as hen's teeth in San Francisco. But anyway, that's what they did. But this, again, is following the template of the civil rights movement, because in all those old Southern cases where a state court and a state jury let the accused off, it was followed up promptly thereafter by a federal prosecution. That's where basically people said, what happened to the rule against double jeopardy? Well, they had an excuse for that, saying that it's different when you have a different federal crime versus a state crime. Well, now the law that they made can be used against the left, and we can have federal prosecutors. I understand that Jeff Sessions and the Department of Justice have got that in the works, and it's going to come down on I forget the man's name on this. He's got several names, by the way. I understand. Pick your alias. But anyway, he's going to be prosecuted by the feds, just like people like Bobby Frank Cherry and whatnot were prosecuted federally when they got off.
Well, how many times was Byron Delabecque tried? About 15, 16?
I think 8 times. And there was some guy also, the last trial on the Swerner Goodman Cheney murders was some guy that had been a preacher, a white preacher down there that had some type of connection with that crime. Well, they were dragging him into court on a walker with an oxygen tank, you know, eventually in his upper 80s.
So, what you're saying is back in the 50s and 60s, if the South, if a Southern state, quote unquote, got it wrong, then the feds would make sure that their version of justice came down.
And the left was totally, the left was just jubilant about that. Now the left is finding out that the template that they set is now being used against them.
Over here.
And they couldn't be more of exercised and incensed about it.
Seem to have an open and shut case over here. Whether he intended to kill her in cold blood or whether it was an accident, you still got to do a little time for that. Even if you kill somebody by accident, you still go to jail. And they let him off scot-free, but the federal Justice Department.
If you kill someone in a car wreck, you are charged with involuntary manslaughter. My gosh, is this less culpable than that?
Well, so the feds are going to get him on this. All right,
he was found guilty of having a firearm illegally
that's not a big deal.
He was a convicted felon, so he can't have a firearm.
That's something, but that's not much compared to killing someone.
But on the other hand, that Donald Trump again is doing just exactly what he does best, which is jumped on this.
Candidate Trump is back over the course of the last 2 weeks. So help me God, we'll see if it holds and if he's serious. But I like what I've seen. I've been more encouraged by the president in the last 2 weeks than I have at any point since his election.
Well, he continues to tweet, and unlike any of his predecessors, he is not being controlled by the mainstream media. He is not having his words spoon-fed out to us and editorialized and changed by the mainstream media. We get full, unadulterated Trump-ism through his tweets, and it's driving the left mad because they cannot control it.
He did a big Christmas celebration a couple of days ago. He said, I've been waiting for this day all year to tell the country Merry Christmas, and he's doing the Pocahontas stuff again. He's getting back into form.
Yeah, well, Elizabeth Warren is what they call a pretendian. She's a pretend Indian.
I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, she's a pretend Indian.
That's a good one.
And a lot of people are doing it because we have this unfair, unjust system called affirmative action where American Indians, Hispanics, Blacks, and all sorts of other minority groups, including our own women, are given preference over white people, and in particular, white males. But then on the other hand, women expect white males to have a higher position and a better paying job than them. So that's one of the problems that we have with, the high divorce rate and the low white birth rates that we have in America today because of that phenomenon, affirmative action is placing men down at the bottom, particularly white men, at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to getting jobs and political appointments and other things of that sort.
We stayed in the UK for all of our news during the first hour. When we come back from the first break of the second hour, there's a couple of more court cases I want to tell you about, and we'll do that very quickly. It won't even take a whole segment. Let me tell you what else is coming up this hour. We're going to talk about Matt Lauer. I can't wait to do that. Roy Moore is surging in Alabama, and everybody.
We never hear when he surges. We hear if his opponent has a little bump.
Jack Ryan's going to be on this hour. Yeah, you're correct. And a couple of interesting media connections between the people attacking Roy Moore and people who have attacked the political cesspool in the past, and we'll connect those dots. All in
the
this
usual
hour.
Suspects are called.
Wait until you hear it, folks. It's pretty interesting. Stay tuned. It's all coming your way.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, we're going to stay in court very quickly. If you thought that the illegal alien getting off scot-free for killing Kate Steinle was surprising, listen to this case in Florida. In 2013 in Key West, after an event called Fantasy Fest, which is basically if you're overweight and unattractive...
And homosexual.
Well, you don't. That's preferred, but not required. You go. You can march around naked and body paint. I mean, I've been down to Key West quite a few times, and I haven't been to Fantasy Fest, but that takes place every October. It's just basically a celebration of degeneracy and perversion. Anyway, one night in Fantasy Fest in 2013, a homosexual man was arrested, and he filed a lawsuit saying the police used excessive force, essentially, if my memory serves.
Tell the audience what he did.
Well, I don't remember what he did, but the fact is that he was... Well, I can pull it up. We're running short on time. Let me see what it says here. Sam Bushman actually sent this article to me. Oh, I'll just read it all, whatever. A federal court has thrown out a Florida jury's verdict clearing police of misconduct charges, claiming that the jury hadn't been vetted for homophobia and that there may have been a bias against the gay plaintiff. Let's see what he did. The point is, really, it doesn't matter what he did. The court,
I think it was a pretty cut-and-dried case of breaking and entering or something.
No, well, here it is. Well, no, basically, he was just on the street for whatever reason. I don't think it had anything to do with breaking and entering. A cop arrested him for domestic battery is what it's saying. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the cop arrested him, and he brought charges against the cop for excessive force and for brutality and things of that nature. And it went through the whole trial process. Really, the whatever he was arrested for is a moot point. It's not even in question. What was in question was whether the police used excessive force and brutalized him. It went through the whole court system. The jury found the police not guilty. The plaintiff appealed, And then the higher court threw out the lower court's decision, saying that the jury had not been tested to see whether or not they were homophobic. Now, I don't know how you test somebody for that. Is it in the blood? If they're talking about they didn't question them during the jury selection process as to whether or not they hate homosexuals, all anybody would have to do to pass that test is say no.
Well, look, it's called voir dire, and it basically comes from a famous U.S. Supreme Court decision, Batson versus somebody or something. The Batson case basically says this. What Batson says is that you've got to be very, very careful, walk on eggshells about using peremptory strikes to knock black potential jurors off of the jury list. And if you don't do that, and if you don't have really well-documented reasons to take a black potential juror out of the jury, then they can reverse the appeal. Now, apparently, this is a new, formerly unprecedented move to give the same type of extended, special, strict scrutiny to homosexuals and asking about homophobia. And like James said, all you have to do is ask if you're homophobic. And what happens is that if you don't want to serve on the jury, somebody says, sure, I'm homophobic, and that way they get out of serving.
Otherwise, they would have passed the test by just saying no, which anyone would have said in that situation, unless they wanted to get out of jury duty. So anyway, so you've got the case in California, Steinle's killer, not guilty. And here in Florida, it looks like justice was probably served, but because there wasn't a test performed to see whether or not the jurors were homophobic.
There are not specific questions or a specific line of questions. Of course, this will become so burdensome that basically they will have the opposite effect, and they'll be recruiting homosexuals to be on the jury if a homosexual man is the defendant.
That's right.
In a case.
All right, so there's that case. There was the Steinle verdict. And then, of course, my case actually got another infusion of publicity this week. Two articles, pretty prominent ones, on VDARE and American Renaissance, respectively. The VDARE piece was written by James Fulford. Peter Brimelow actually reached out to me 2 or 3 weeks ago and said VDARE wanted to do an article on my case. And I said, that'd be great. And then I thought that maybe they thought better of it. And then it came out, well-researched. The title of it, Edwards versus Detroit News, Court Ends Libel Protection for Whites. Keith, we spent way too much time on the first story of this segment. A minute or less, break down the Fulford article, Court Ends Libel Protection for Whites. It appeared on VDARE.com in the last couple of days.
Well, what Fulford starts his article out with is a quote from Justice Roger Taney in the Dred Scott case saying that a black man has no rights under American law that a white person is required to respect. And, of course, that was a shocking comment back then as it is now. But now we've gone full circle. A white man has no rights that a black columnist needs to respect in the news media. That's what the James Edwards versus Detroit Times lawsuit decision stands for, and he's absolutely right. Then we have another article by Greg Hood about how difficult it is now for white right-wingers to find adequate legal representation, because if someone dares to represent them, you have bar associations and news media and all sorts of different organizations coming after them, hammering tongs, trying to punish them and trying to prevent them from, doing what lawyers have done back since the time of John Adams when he represented the British soldiers in the Boston Massacre. He said that everybody is entitled, without question, to adequate legal representation. Well, again, the left has now decided that we live in a brave new world where all of the rules are suspended when it comes to people that disagree with them, particularly white advocates.
The Fulford piece at VDARE.com, which was quite masterful, and I emailed both he and Peter Brimelow. Peter and I talked a couple of times on the phone in recent days, but I told them, listen, y'all did me a service, and that was a great piece. But that
Fulford is really one of the smarter people in their stable of writers over there, and I hope he gets the credit that he's due, because he's written wonderful articles for well over 10 years.
And the sole focus of this article was on my case, whereas in the Gregory Hood piece for American Renaissance, and the title of that piece was No Counsel for White Men. I guess that's a play on the...
You're one of several that he wrote.
One of several, and he gave equal time to each. No Counsel for White Men, I guess that's a play on No Country for Old Men. But it was a good piece, too, so it was interesting. It's been almost exactly a month now since that decision was handed down. And so two of the premiers of our movement in their respective fields, Amrin and Vidair.
Well, it is a very, very important decision. And the reason it's important is that now the left has gotten the green light to slander and defame all right-wingers as Nazis or Klansmen. And if you can take even one of those bullets out of their arsenal, you will hamstring them immeasurably, because, quite frankly, none of the other things that they use as defamation has any effect whatsoever on the public in general, only Nazi or Klansmen.
And we know, going back to the legal textbook itself, the Restatement of Torts, the textbook definition of what constitutes defamation, this is what spawned the whole lawsuit, is to allege that someone is a member of the Klan. They did much more than that, saying I was a leader.
And
then Mother Goose's fable said,
Aesop's fable is their sole legal authority. And that is, you know, the thinnest soup that you could ever imagine.
Well,
I can't imagine. See, we've apparently departed from the standard methodology for determining appellate cases, which is called stare decisis. You look for a precedent in prior decided cases to support your decision. Now they have something called legal realism, where you basically decide who the good guy is and who the bad guys are, and you rationalize a reason for the people that the judge perceives to be the good guys to win.
Keith, the music's up. We have until December 12th to appeal to the Supreme Court. Should we do it, yes or no?
I think you should, and people, send some money in so James can defray his legal expenses. We can't do it all on our own.
We'll be back right after this. By the way, nice plug, Keith. The fourth quarter fundraising drive is up and running. We need your support. We'll be back. We're going to connect media dots between Roy Moore and James Edwards, and the same people attacking him have attacked us.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know which entity is more corrupt, perverted, evil. Is it the judicial system? Or is it the media?
Or is it the church?
Very good. Well, we talked a little bit about the legal system earlier this hour. Now let's talk about the media. Obviously, the media 100% opposed to Roy Moore. We've talked about Roy Moore for a couple of weeks in a row now, so you know our position on him. If you don't go back to the last couple of two or three weeks.
Well, people from all three of those institutions that you've mentioned have weighed in to condemn.
They're
Roy
against
Moore.
Us. And it was interesting. Three people particularly have come to mind. I'm not talking about, of course, we've been denounced by every major media outlet. So has Roy Moore. So has Donald Trump, for that matter. That's no big deal. But three of the exact same reporters who have attacked Roy Moore have attacked us. And I'll give you a couple of the examples. One of which is Dana Milbank. And I remember Dana Milbank because I thought to myself when he wrote a piece about us last year, attacking
the New York Times.
I believe he is. He's with one of the big ones, either Washington Post or New York Times, really interchangeable. And Dana Milbank, I thought to myself, never trust a man named Dana. It's sort of like a boy named Sue.
So, man with a woman's name.
And so Dana Milbank, the only reason it was even remarkable, he just wrote a generic piece attacking Roy Moore, no big deal. But I remember him having attacked both Sam Bushman and I do believe. Another, Jimmy Kimmel. So Jimmy Kimmel was really... Roy Moore
called him out and said, come down to Alabama and say that. And he made a sharp retort, but it was obvious that he had no intention of coming anywhere near the state of Alabama.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel, if you don't know, Roy Moore. Now, our problem is with the Southern Baptist Convention, not certain Southern Baptist churches or Southern Baptist congregations to which I have belonged my entire life.
It's
the greatest people.
You know, it's like everything else. The elites at the top of these organizations are the sellouts. The people in the pews, the students in the chairs and seats at the schools, all of these people are not the problem. The problem is the leadership.
Right. And so Roy Moore was at a Southern Baptist church giving a political rally, which... typically, they don't do. So I was kind of happy to see that. And
taking another cue from the left, where in black churches, Democrats have gone to politic for time immemorial.
So Roy Moore was at a small Southern Baptist church in Alabama, and Jimmy Kimmel sent in a undercover actor who was dressed up in a T-shirt that said, "Give me more." And he was just this obnoxious caricature of what a Roy Moore supporter might be like if the Hollywood
casting was involved in creating them.
So he was wearing a baseball hat, and he was just the caricature of a Southerner, and he was just standing up and being disruptive the entire time, but presumably because of his enthusiasm for Roy Moore. And he just really made an ass of himself and was foolish. He finally was ejected from the building, but it was all for giggles on Jimmy Kimmel's late night show. It was really a tasteless thing to do, to send a man into a church to disrupt a political rally. Do you think Jimmy Kimmel would have sent an actor into a mosque to disrupt
or into a black church to harass some left wing politician?
No, he would not, never. And so, but Jimmy Kimmel, it was a big laugh on his show. Well, you'll remember that Jimmy Kimmel also attacked the political cesspool for our interview with Hutton Gibson. Mel Gibson's father, and some of the things he said. It was a big stand-up act on one of his shows back immediately after that interview.
Jimmy Kimmel is the phenomenon I call the crying male. He gets up there and cries like a woman and expects to get, you know, basically to disarm and defuse and paralyze his opponents with that particular tactic. It's not working with Roy Moore.
Roy Moore's going to be the next senator, and I can't wait to next week. So what is today? Well, we got to wait 2 more weeks.
He's December the 6th, 10 days.
He's going to be elected on December 12th. Our next show is December 9th, and then so on the 16th we'll be celebrating. But anyway, so Jimmy Kimmel, he's attacked us. He attacked Roy Moore very tastelessly, sending that actor into a church to disrupt that appearance.
Like a total slob.
And Dana Milbank, that was another one. Now, the last one, there was this thing. Who knows if it was legit or not? Who knows what was going on? But apparently some disingenuous woman contacted a reporter saying that Roy Moore had molested her. The press is saying that she's a part of Project Veritas, which is James O'Keefe's organization. Who knows if that's true or if it isn't true, if she was a nut or whatever.
Or a paid operative.
But nevertheless, you know, what it could have been is she could have been a paid operative of the Washington Post being a caricature, and then they called her out and saying, hey, yeah, look, we vet everybody. Look, we caught this one. She probably worked for the Washington Post, truth be known. Who knows?
I imagine all of them are being paid by the Washington Post.
So who knows what was going on with that? If you followed the story, again, essentially a woman contacted a reporter with the Washington Post, said she had this story, and they ended up uncovering her as someone who was trying to fake the Washington Post out, and they celebrated themselves and pat themselves on the back by doing very basic, elementary double-checking and fact-checking. But like I said, she probably worked for them, and it was just a false flag. But anyway, the reporter she reached out to was a woman by the name of Beth Reinhard, and Beth Reinhard was really hot to get an interview with me right after the Donald Trump interview. The Donald Trump Jr. interview last year, right after the Trump campaign gave his press credentials. And Sam Bushman will remember this because I believe he reached out to her after I sent her an email saying, I would rather die in a leper colony than talk to you for 2 minutes. That's exactly what I told to Beth Reinhart when she reached out to me last.
Yeah, that sounds like sexual harassment, James.
That's what I said to her. Well, anyway, she was the very reporter that this woman, whoever she was, reached out to with this false claim that she had been assaulted by Roy Moore. So Jimmy Kimmel, Dana Milbank, and Beth Reinhart, three people attacking Roy Moore that have all attacked us in the past. So that's interesting. And I'm sure there's a lot more.
Not only by the company he keeps. Yeah. What they want to do is they want to get everybody, you know, if you have the right friends, according to the James Edwards versus Detroit Times, then you're thrown in with them. Well, the same thing for having the same enemies. We're glad to say that we have the same enemies as Roy Moore.
And Donald Trump. Sam Bushman was asking for interviews. They wouldn't do that. You know, the whole thing was last year, if they thought they could use us to hurt Donald Trump, that's what they were after. That's why I turned down tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, I'm talking about sit-downs and primetime, everything. All of this media. I mean, she was with
free publicity.
Free publicity, and she was with Beth Reinhart was with the Wall Street Journal last year. Now she's with the Washington Post. See, that's all
the
interchangeable.
Names are interchangeable. Yeah, right. There is nobody that is honest and straightforward and even vaguely conservative in the mainstream media of the nation.
Well, those are just three articles or instances between Kimmel and Reinhart and Milbank that I saw this week. Those are three that I happened to see. But it is interesting that so many people who are attacking the great Roy Moore, who is about to be the next senator from the great state of Alabama, have attacked us. So I'll take that company any day, Keith.
Though that tells us that Roy Moore is a man that we need to be supporting.
Absolutely right. Well, I'll tell you one more thing you can support, ladies and gentlemen, the political cesspool. And we just kicked off our
fourth quarter.
Yes, it is indeed our Christmas time fundraiser, and we need your help. And we need you to stand with us so we can finish.
We need it more than ever since we've had our debit card service.
Well, we're asking our audience to take a stand. In fact, the incentive we're offering to our contributors this month, you can donate online. We're back online now. You can donate online with your credit card. You can send us in a check. But we're asking you to take a stand. And for any listener of this program who will gift us And what a special time, the spiritual time of Christmas, to offer a love offering, $100 or more, and you'll get a copy of John Vinson's book. We'll tell you more about this as the month rolls on, but John Vinson's book, Southerner, Take Your Stand, and the tagline is Reclaim Your Identity, Reclaim Your Life. I was going to sit on this book until the first quarter fundraising drive of 2018, because that's so near Confederate History Month, but who knows what's going to be happening in 4 months. And so I wanted to get this book out. You'll get it in time for Christmas. Donate online tonight on our website, $100 or more, and we'll make sure you get the book. But everything helps. $10, $25. We need you to support us. This is exactly the kind of message that needs to be shared, and I couldn't be more thrilled to be able to offer it for our loyal donors. And we always hand pick an incentive to send out to you fine people. And we ask you to please help us finish the year out strong by making a special contribution during this season of hope and goodwill. We have groundbreaking work. We take our movement to where the action is. We're in the news all the time. We'd be in it a lot more if we facilitated the press. We shun the press. But as this year comes to a close, we take stock of those who mean the most to us. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, how much you mean to us. We've accomplished so much together. I want it to continue. You can help it continue by donating tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Jack Ryan's on deck of Occidental Descent. You'll hear from him right after this.
And come back to the Political Cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Dear Christine, I wanted to write and tell you some exciting news.
What are you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm writing Christine a letter to tell her about Emily's first tooth.
At 2 o'clock in the morning?
It's a mom thing.
I'll get her.
I don't have the words to thank you for having the courage to give us our most precious gift. We can only thank you by raising her the way you'd always hoped. How'd you get her to sleep so fast?
It's a dad thing. Honey, will you tell her thanks from me?
Of course I will.
Adoption. It's about love. A message from LDS Family Services.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right, there's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Stay in the tangle, girl, to what we got, girl. Stay in the world, girl, we got.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we're going to get the music in a second. We're going to start with a little Johnny Rivers, Secret Agent Man, because that's what we have right now. We have, well, there it is. Let's listen, because we've got a secret agent on the phone right now.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away your name.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have our own secret agent on the line right now. How about Johnny Rivers? I'll tell you, if you want to ever see a high-energy concert, go see Johnny Rivers in concert if you can. I have seen him many times, and it is a hell of a show. And we got a hell of a guy on the line right now, Jack Ryan. You might know him from Occidental Descent and his contributions to that great website. You might know him from our conferences in 2014, the 10-year anniversary conference, the 2000, what year is this? 17, the event we had in Memphis. Last month, Jack was at both, and so our core supporters probably met him there. And Jack and I have been talking for a while about bringing him on to contribute to the show, and now we're happy to announce that he will be a regular contributor to the show. He is a Renaissance man. He has a lot to offer. I really enjoyed getting to know Jack a little bit more in October. I remember him going out to a barbecue restaurant with me and Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby. We just had a great time. I said, Jack, now's the time to do it. Let's work you in. And we're going to do that and a lot more. Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. I send you warm greetings from just outside of Chicago. It's a great place to visit, but kind of tough to live there.
I bet. Well, tell us a little bit, Jack. Basically, tonight's just going to be an introductory segment for our audience, for the benefit of those who weren't with us in Memphis or heard you on the anniversary show in October. Tell us a little bit about your background, and you've lived all over the place, north, south, east, west. Tell us a little bit. Well, tell the audience what you want them to know about Jack Ryan.
Sure. First of all, I just want to say I'm very honored to be, you know, featured as a guest here. I've followed the show for a little bit. I think it's the best of its kind. I love the political orientation, but it's not just the politics. There's good music and humor, you know, it's very entertaining. I think we need to do more of that, just do politics. Just my background, I grew up in Chicago, kind of this interesting neighborhood in Chicago, and I was a little boy. And then, like, my childhood ended, like, about when I was about 7 years old. It was 1968 in Chicago. And the city and this country was just torn like a civil war. There were riots, and I was very much involved in all this. My family is Midwestern, from Michigan, and you know, we're good Americans. But one of my grandfathers was from Russia, and he was a teenager when the Bolshevik Revolution kind of came out. 100 years ago, and he fought in the White Army against the communists and lost. He ended up coming to the United States. He was the professor of the Indian language of Sanskrit. So we were very much against communism and things like that. So I was just heavily involved my whole life in politics and the like. And I had a good education, but my school, most of my students, they would go to East Coast schools or they go to Big Ten. And I was tired of the liberal leftist politics. So I wanted to go to school in the South, which my other students would say, that's, you know, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. No one does that. But I ended up going to Vanderbilt University, which was one of the best schools in the South. And it was a very Southern school then, but it's not so much now. It's been corrupted. The chancellor is some former law professor from the University of Wisconsin at Madison. It was a good time. And then I did some things. I ended up living in New York City for 5 years in just the crazy late 80s and early 90s. I got an MBA from New York University, but I was very much involved in politics and just the things that were going on in New York with crime, violence, Islamic terrorism, things like that. So I'd worked in conservative politics, but after that, I kind of got out into other politics. I was involved in immigration and things like that. And so I've been working in this alternative political world for many years, and I've been a writer for Oxford on the Sentinel, which I think is one of the best blogs in kind of this world.
Absolutely. And so we wanted to give you just that very brief, basic thumbnail sketch of who Jack Ryan is. Believe me, as you get to know Jack better, you're going to understand why we offered him this opportunity and why we are the ones that should be grateful that he took the opportunity. And so just as Scoop Stanton for many, many years has had a regular dedicated segment on most weeks. Now, every now and then there's an exception. Jack Ryan, too, will now have a dedicated segment. And like Scoop, Jack's going to it's his time. It's his dime, his dance floor when he's on the air going forward henceforth after this week. Jack will pick the subject, and it'll be his segment. And I think he's going to bring another layer, another dimension, another element to this show. Jack, that being said, what can people expect from the Jack Ryan segment on the Political Cesspool Radio program going forward in next week and into the future? What are you going to be bringing?
Well, I think I've kind of got a unique perspective. I am a Midwesterner, but I've lived in some really rough, really hostile places. Big cities in Chicago and New York, but also in high in academia, very leftist academia. I've been in places that are just, I'm sort of like a Vietnam vet that's been in the worst combat and things like that. So I think that I've got a perspective which is sympathetic to your listeners. I'm a Midwesterner, but I like the South and stuff. But I have been in battle with the worst leftist, multiculturalist, Hollywood, you know, international neoconservatives. I've been with all these people, and so I can kind of explain, you know, kind of think what happened. My neighbor, my Illinois state representative was Barack Obama, okay? And so he was there, and then he got promoted to a senator, and then he was president of the United States. So these people are out, your listeners, like, how did this guy come from nowhere, become the president of the United States? Well, I can explain to you how this happens and how it does happen. And I can give you, it's not some weird conspiracy stuff, but I can explain politics and culture and why now the national media is crazy upset with Russian conspiracy stuff, where if they were trying to do that in the 1950s, they'd say it was a right-wing conspiracy nutcase. But now they're saying there's a Russian spy behind every single place and they stole the election from Hillary. I can explain to your listeners why this is happening and how regular good Americans should respond to it. So I think that's what I can kind of bring to the show.
I can't wait. I mean, like I said, you get to pick the topic in your segment. That's the deal we made. But I would like to hear your perspective of having Barack Obama as your state representative. That's an interesting perspective. Now, Jack, we only have a minute or two left tonight. One other thing that I like that you want to bring to the table is you're a Renaissance man, and you're going to be making each week a recommendation for our audience. You're going to make a book recommendation, a movie recommendation, and a musical recommendation. Give us your recommendations for this week and what we're going to do. We're not going to do this every week, but we're going to let you lead in with a song each week. We'd already had Secret Agent Man queued up. We're going to end with your other song tonight, but we got to move very quickly. So just quickly give us the titles of the book, the movie, the song you want to recommend, and then we'll let you fly tonight so we can get to this song, and then next week you'll have a couple of extra minutes.
Okay, sounds good. This week, both my book and movie recommendations are the same. It's Norman MacLean's A River Runs Through It, which Robert Redford made into just a beautiful movie. I think it's late 90s. It's the autobiography of a man, Norman MacLean, who was a good friend of our family's growing up in Montana. He was the son of a Presbyterian missionary, and he was into fly fishing. And it's just beautiful. He ended up being a professor of English at the University of Chicago. But this book is fantastic. And Robert Redford did a lot of liberal leftist stuff, but at the end more of his life, he just made this beautiful movie that is about nature, family, you know, fishing, and religion. It's just a fantastic movie, and I highly recommend that you read both the book and the movie A River Runs Through It. My musical recommendation is a cover version of a Beatles tune, When I'm 64, by these very talented young people, Mona Lisa Twins, and they're performing this now. And I recommend that people spend like the buck at iTunes to get the music. There's a lot of bad music, but we still have some good music there. So Mona Lisa,
Jack,
Twins, When I'm 64.
Let's play it right now. And, folks, that's just a taste of what you're going to be getting from Jack Ryan. Jack, you hit it out of the park tonight. I'll tell you that in private because I mean it in public. I am excited about having you as a regular contributor to this show. I'm excited about what you bring to the table. Let's fire up his musical recommendation tonight to take you to the wall, and we'll be back with the third and final hour after this. Jack Ryan, you're going to be hearing a lot more of him on this show. Let's play When I'm 64. Thank you, Jack.
Sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If it'd been now till 2:45, would you lock the door? Oh, will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Ooh, you'll be older.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.